Hello and welcome to Owning It, the podcast that celebrates the inspiring choices made by women who refuse to simply follow the crowd and chose the road less traveled. I'm your host, Sandhya Tukaram, and in each episode, we'll have real conversations with these incredible women who choose to carve their own path because following just isn't an option. They may not be making headlines, but every one of them is a role model. So join me and let's explore the power of choice and the inspiration it brings right here on Owning It. I met Mitul Lal about 4 years ago as the young communications lead at Josh Talks. Over the years, I've been impressed with her evolution into a young leader. Her journey to greater confidence, deeper insights, and understanding of youth across the country is all about owning it. Mitul, thank you for joining me on Owning It. I know you've been a little reluctant. You're way more shy a person than I am, even if you're more photo friendly. But I'm glad you've made it. Like I've told you many times, and even recently, when I first met you about 4 years ago, and I remember that very distinctly, it was at a game convening in December of 2019. And I remember a very warm, friendly, beautiful girl who came and attended the entire session. And since then, we've met multiple times. And I love how you still have the quietness, you still have the warmth, but you've gained in confidence. You're able to make a point in the exact opposite way that I do. I need to make a point where I'm almost beating a person up, but you're able to make it with quiet confidence. So there's a little bit of envy. But I want to start our conversation with you talking about this growth of yours in the last 4 years.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandhya, and inviting me to be a part of this conversation. Excited to be here. And I think, I still remember when we met in December 2019. I think I was going through a bit of a turbulent time because I just joined a new organization. I was trying to figure out my place in it. It was also my first time taking on a role as a manager. So I wasn't just responsible for my own work, but for other people and their work. So that felt slightly overwhelming. But I just sort of, let things take some time. And eventually I did figure out my role in the team. I figured out a way that worked, a way to manage my team and sort of make that work too. And I think eventually things became easier for sure. And, I realized that the only way to really figure any of this out is just to show up every day and, be committed to the larger goal as well. And I think since then things have changed a lot. So transitioning from being an individual contributor to a manager to being a part of the leadership team, it definitely wasn't a smooth transition, but I think it's sort of like climbing a mountain. The view kept like getting better. It keeps getting better even today, but there's also a lot of added responsibility. So I think it's been a roller coaster as such, and I'm enjoying the ride.
So let's talk about when, before you got on the roller coaster. And, like I've said many times, I, for some reason, like to go back to age 10. I feel like age 10 is a time when we have a fairly definitive personality. We have a distinct memory and our likes and dislikes and aspirations are somewhat beginning to happen. And of course, then life gets more complicated. And I think that's why I like age 10. So Introduce me to Mitul at age 10. Tell me about where you were, what your aspirations were, and then we'll connect the dots to who you are today.
Yes. So, I think firstly, it's very hard to imagine Mitul being age 10 again. I've been born and raised in Delhi. So I was in Delhi at that time as well. I think from the very beginning, I have very early out as a child, I've started reading a lot. I've always been a voracious reader. And I think, I was known to be that kid who was completely, would be sitting in a room and you wouldn't notice me because I'd be in one corner with like my nose stuck up in a book. And I think, yeah, that's what my world was. I'd get completely captivated by stories, lost in them. Used to love reading like these detective thrillers, novels, and all kinds of fiction. So I think that's what my world was like, you know, sort of living in these alternative realities. And yeah, I think I still sort of have that even today, you know, that constant urge to like explore new things, try things out, to just like, you know, really push myself out of my comfort zone. So yeah, I think that it sort of started very early on in my childhood, and it remains till date.
Would you say you were a confident kid, or were you a shy kid?
Oh, I was very confident. I was growing up, I was a very confident child. I wasn't a shy kid at all. In fact, I used to be very confident as a child, and throughout like school, and I would, yeah, I think throughout school as well. And then life happened. I think I went to a all girls college, which was extremely competitive. And, you know, I've always been this kid who was very hard on myself as well. So, and especially again, women entering the workforce, I think there's just a lot of pressure. Some of it is external, a lot of it is internal. So I think somewhere along the way, you know, those self-critical sort of moments started popping up a lot more often. But no, that definitely didn't exist in a 10-year-old Mithul. And, you know, I really keep thinking that, you know, I need to get that confidence back, and I need to get that, you know, energy and just carefree attitude back. And that's what 27-year-old Mithul is trying to do. Yeah.
I see you getting there. I think you'll be 10-year-old Mithul with a lot more wisdom very soon. But I want to stay with 10-year-old Mithul. If I met her and said, like all aunties say, what do you want to do when you grow up? What would Mithul have answered?
I think, yeah, I used to love stories. And when I wasn't reading stories, I was writing them. So I would say that I always wanted to, you know, become a writer. I think at some point I was veering more towards journalism and media. And I want to say that I didn't land very far off from what I dreamt as a 10-year-old. So, yeah.
So hold that thought, because it comes to connects to my next question.
Yeah.
Was your entry to Josh Talks intentional and connected to this aspiration at 10?
I don't know. Yes and no. So I stumbled upon Josh Talks by chance, but I decided to stay on for much longer than intended by choice. So yes, I think there's definitely, as Josh, right, there is that power of storytelling, and you know, just learning about so many different individuals, their stories, and just the incredible journeys that they've had. But I think when I initially interacted with Supriya and Shobhit, and this is early 2015, Josh Talks was just shaping up. I was very lucky to be a part of the very first event that we did in Gurgaon back in 2015. So I think, yeah, Supriya and Shobhit's energy and their vision was infectious. And that's why I decided that, okay, this 2-month-long volunteering / internship period, you know, I wanted to extend that, and then I ended up staying for almost a year. And of course, then later rejoining full time, which was, it's been almost 4 years since then.
What did you do in between internship and, I don't think
I completed college. I completed college. Okay, I went to a very strict college. So I had to be in class from 8 a.m. to like 3 p.m. every day. And there was this period of 8 to 10 months where I would go and attend class every day. And after 3 p.m., I would get out of college and actually take the metro and come to Gurgaon. That's where our headquarters was at that time, and still is. But I basically did that. After a period of time, I realized it wasn't very sustainable. So I went back to being in college full time. And I did a lot of internships, explored a lot of other options as well. I've always been someone who likes to try out new things. So I did that. Once I graduated from college, I interned at the International Labour Organization. And after that, I started working as a consultant with GIZ. Then I was working with UNESCO. And that's when, you know, Supriya reached out, and the rest, as they say, is history. So, yeah.
Yeah, short history, but history nevertheless. Considering you're all, my favorite thing to say is embryos at Josh Talks. But speaking about embryos at Josh Talks and the very young team that you all are, What does it mean to be a young leader of a young team focused on young aspirations?
Yeah, so I will never get over your embryo joke, just by the way. But so I think I would say it's equal parts demanding and sort of rewarding. It definitely helps that we're a bunch of young people who are extremely passionate and show up with a lot of energy and enthusiasm every day to really make a difference in this world. And I think we're committed to that. So it's incredible to be a part of a team like this. And especially for Josh Talks, being connected to our audience, being connected to our users, with our age, being sort of digital natives where we spend so much of our time on the internet, it helps a lot. Being a person who's in the leadership team, I think there can be challenges at times where, there are certain experiences that you only gain with age. So there are limitations, at times, but in those instances, we have to be open to learning. We seek guidance from outside, from wiser people like you and other incredible mentors that we have in this journey as well. So I think we're trying to find that balance, but definitely the energy, the agility, I would say, and, just the commitment to this helps us, it has helped us navigate the slightly more challenging times that have also come our way in the last few years.
Are there specific skills you've had to learn, Mithul, to be a leader? See, to be a leader is some specific skill sets. There are some people who are amazing at what they do, but may never be good leaders. And that's okay. To be a good leader, I think some people have it naturally, and some people are really intentional about it and go out there and say, you know what, I want to be this kind of leader. Have you ever thought about it? And is there something that you felt like you had to learn or adapt?
Yeah, absolutely. I think learn and unlearn both, right? So I agree with you. I think there are certain individuals who are born leaders, but I think, in the current sort of work environment, there's a lot of unlearning and relearning that has to happen as well. So there are parts of, my work that I have to consciously work on. I think the first being, developing this ability to think strategically and think more critically. So when I joined and, early on in my career as well, I was so focused on like the immediate task at hand or just executing or, just putting my head down and getting the work done or immediate problem solving. But over a period of time as a leader, you have to, develop that ability to take a step back, hit pause and understand how does that task really tie into the larger vision and mission of the organization. Being strategic about where we're spending our time, where we're allocating our resources as well. So that's one. And I think secondly, as a leader of any organization, I think being resilient is something that I've also worked on over a period of time, because it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And there are times when, we have our fair share of tough moments, difficult moments. There are days where there are intense failures as well. But I think constantly reminding ourselves that we're in this for the long haul, being positive, spreading that positive attitude amongst the team as well. And just knowing again when to step back and take care of yourself and coming back the next day more sort of determined, more resilient. I think that's something that I'm working on. And the third part I wanted to add, though, because I mentioned that, there's a lot of unlearning that's required as well. So growing up, Sandhya, I was always told that I'm someone who's very empathetic. And I think I still am. And I still consider it a superpower of mine. But what I realized along the journey is that being over-empathetic can also be a hindrance in a workplace. So, knowing how to draw those boundaries and knowing when to say that, okay, enough is enough. And, I think that's also a process that has taken me some time to learn. And I'm consciously working on, setting those boundaries, saying no when it's important to say no. So, I think these are some of the things that I've had to learn and I'm still learning.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we stop learning, we stop living. But It was an interesting point that you made about you needed to learn to be not to be too empathetic. The one thing I've learned as a leader, and this is something I have to really consciously learn, because you know me, I'm very extra about everything. I think it's important to find a balance. I think if you're able to approach things from a balanced perspective, whether it is, even if you're angry, can you temper that down? If you have a point of view, can you offer it in a balanced way? If you're empathetic, can it be balanced with, you know, whatever counterbalances that? So I'm glad you mentioned that, because for me, it's definitely, I'm the opposite of balance. And so I'm glad we touched on that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I'd like you to be as candid as possible. This is a, like I said, not an interview. This is a chat between Mithul and Sandhya, except we're not, you know, having a beer or a cocktail. So,
no, Sandhya, I think if I had to give you the very honest answer, I would say that I don't know. And that's the truth. I don't think I have an end destination in mind for myself 5 years or 10 years from now. For me as an individual, being in an environment that's stimulating, that helps me grow, that challenges me, is extremely critical. And I hope 5 years from now, I am able to sort of, you know, strive to be in such an environment, and hopefully I'll be there. Another personal goal I would say is for me to, in the next 5 years, build my own voice and a platform where I can shine a light on other people's stories as well. Get more women in the workforce, get more women to occupy positions of power, because that's something that I feel very strongly about. I feel like even in today's day and age, we simply don't have enough role models to look up to, who are not just, who are not just in positions of leadership, but who are also accessible. And that's why I think I enjoy our conversation so much, because as much as, you know, we choose to joke about how you have no filter at times, but it's also very real and authentic and accessible. You know, that's why it's always inspiring for me to have that conversation with you, because it doesn't feel like it's inaccessible or it's something that can't be a part of my future. So I think that's something that I hope to work on a lot more actively in the next few years.
Yeah. I loved what you said. It could have almost been a plug for this podcast, because that's what I communicated to you when I said, you know, there are 100 podcasts. Why one more? But like you, I believe there are just so many of us who are not necessarily, you know, out there and celebrities. But we're choosing to go down our own path, make the mistakes, arrive somewhere. And if we can tell those stories more, I have no doubt that it'll inspire many more people, especially women, to go out there and just make a choice. I think it boils down to me. Actually, power, if you ask me, or a platform, is about making a choice. If you have the freedom to make a choice, do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think that's the sort of, you know, being in a position where we have the ability to choose. So I think we're very lucky to be in that space even today. And I think 5 years from now, I hope that we're able to, you know, include more women in these conversations and really include, you know, widen the scope of these conversations as well. So yeah, for sure.
Thank you for this conversation. I've really enjoyed, and I'm repeating myself, seeing you come into your own and owning it. And that's why I enjoyed having you and owning it. More power to you, Mithul. I'll keep watching and clapping and making fun of you as you hit your stride and make it stronger and stronger. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandhya. This was really fun.
Thank you for joining us on Owning It. With every conversation with women who are taking control of their narrative, I'm constantly inspired. Don't forget to tune into the next conversation with yet another woman choosing her own path and owning it.